Corinthians chapter 13 again tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is part four to the message that I gave beginning last Sunday morning, a week ago, on imitating God as a husband. We got our title from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, which talks about husbands loving your wives as Christ also loved the church. The love there is what kind of love? Help me out. What kind of love is it? Agape love. And this is the love that God has for us. And this is the love that He has commanded husbands to have for their wives. And He's commanded His children to have for one another. Now we're under letter I. If you're keeping a number, you can keep up with it yourself there. That all sees here under the characteristics of this love. We're looking at it is charitable love. It is charity. It is love. That's just another word for it. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The word charity is agape love. We're just working through this list with you. Again, this is the kind of love that God has for me. And this is the kind of love that He wants me to have for my wife. As we imitate God as a husband, as a spouse. This morning we looked at it suffereth long in verse number 4. It is kind in verse number 4. It envieth not in verse 4. It vaunteth not itself in verse 4. It is not puffed up in verse 4. And it doth not behave itself unseemly in verse number 5. We pick up there in verse number 5 and give you the seventh thing here under this charitable love. And that is in verse number 5, seeketh not her own. Let's pray together and we begin right there. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for the privilege of being able to call you our Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that we can consider you our heavenly bridegroom. We thank you for the love that you have for us. Help us to imitate that love in our homes. Help us to imitate that love in our marriages. May your will be done. May people be helped tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. If you imitate God as a spouse, you will have this kind of love, charitable love, that's identified, number 7, with it. It seeketh not her own. This means it is not self-centered. Now, by the way, let me encourage you with this. I know some of you, maybe many of you, are taking notes. I appreciate that. You can do that. But I obviously talk faster than you can write. Everything I preach, if you want it, you can have it. Just let me know. I'll run them off. You can take it. Take it home. Whatever the case may be. Study it. It's all typed out for you. Not everything I say, but a majority of it. This means it's not self-centered. It means it seeks the good of others. It's not selfish, but benevolent. Get this. It seeks not its own ease. It doesn't seek its own temporal advantage. It seeks not what is for its own profit. It means it's unselfish. There's a lot in these words. I mean, would you agree? I mean, when you study, this is all in this. It means it's generous. One man put it this way, it is actively interested in what will profit others. It never looks at itself first, but it always considers another ahead of itself. Now, friends, no doubt the ultimate example of this is the Lord Himself. Because the Bible says in Matthew 20:28, says, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. Would you agree that the Lord Jesus Christ's love sought not His own? Would you agree that His love was not self-centered? Would you agree that His love was seeking the good of others? Hey, what He did, whose good was He seeking? Yours? Mine? Let me ask you a question. Are you more interested in yourself or your spouse? Are you selfish and self-centered in your marriage? Let me tell you a good way to find out, ask your mate. Now I know everybody's going to do that tonight when they get home, right? You say, am I selfish? Ask your mate. And ask your mate to be, I'm going to use the word brutally honest. Don't be afraid of the truth. May I tell you something that's helped me a lot? is when my beautiful bride, she's at home tonight with baby Joy. Baby Joy's had a little something going on. She's watching tonight, I believe. She said, baby Joy, when the service went off, she started crying. I hope she keeps that up the rest of her life, you know what I mean? Of course, she said she was crying all through the service anyway, so anyway. So I don't know what that means, you know what I mean? She might have been crying for pain through the service and crying tears of joy after it, you know, I don't know. But I'll tell you what's helped me is when my wife has not been intimidated to confront me in love. And to say, sweetheart, whatever she calls me, it's good what she calls me, by the way. You know. And when she says, in love to me, this is something I've noticed. Every time she's done that, it's helped me. Every time. Let me tell you one reason I'm willing to take that from her. Because I know she loves me. And she's trying to help me. And may I say this, there are things sometimes that we're doing, we don't even know we're doing it. So when you go home tonight, it'd be good to set your mate down, look him right in the face and say, honey, be honest with me, am I selfish in our marriage? Am I a selfish person? And tell him, please, you're not going to hurt my feelings. You know, if it's going to hurt your feelings, don't tell him that, okay? But anyway, ask your mate. Is it all about you or them? Doesn't seek its own. You getting it? Philippians 2, 3 through 5 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I know it says, let not every man look on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. But let's apply this to our marriages. Let not every man look on his own things, but every man also on the things of his wife, but the things of her husband. Seeks not her own. It's not selfish. Number 8, verse number 5, notice this, is not easily provoked. This means it's not easily stirred. This means it's not easily exasperated. This means it's not touchy. Oh, man. This means it's not irritable. Whoa. This means it's not quick-tempered. It means it doesn't just fly into a rage or allow one to become excited to anger. One man put it this way, this characteristic of love reminds us that love does not demand its own rights. It is willing to yield to the will of another. True love only responds, now get this, true agape love, only responds in anger to that which angers God. All other things are handled through active, complete, immediate forgiveness. Did you get that? If anything gets on you and flies on you and you go into a rage, if God doesn't fly into a rage against that same thing, that's not agape love. It's not agape love. Anything that God doesn't get angry with, we shouldn't get angry with. And agape love in the marriage does not fly into a rage. It's not quick-tempered. You can't stir it easily. You can't exasperate it easily. It's not irritable. It's not touchy. Let me ask you a question. Do you love your spouse in such a way that it's going to take a whole lot for you to lose your temper? I mean a whole lot. You know, there are many husbands and wives, I'm talking in general terms here, there are many husbands and wives who lose their tempers with one another. They get mad, fly off into a rage. And during those times of temper tantrums is when they cause terrible damage to their marriage. Because it's during those times when you're easily provoked, oh, here it comes. And here comes the words. And you start throwing daggers. Let me say this to you, friends. If you're easily provoked, and you have a problem with your temper, you need to get on your face and beg God to take that away from you. The Bible says in Proverbs 25, 28, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Back in this day, a city without walls was open to the enemy. Had no protection at all. I mean, the walls was the protection of the city. So when the Word of God says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that's broken down and without walls, that means you have no protection against the enemy. If you can't control your temper, you are an open target for the enemy, and you can't stop it. Proverbs 16, 32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Let me ask you a question, especially the kids here, especially my son. Where's my son at? Raise your hand. Yes, there he is. By the way, he's almost eye level with me. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. That does still mean he's still pretty short though, right? When he's eye level with me. Don't say amen there. Let me ask you children in here. Let me ask my son. What do you think about somebody who would be such a great warrior? Because I know he's into this warrior stuff and all these kind of things and so on. But now, listen, all these warriors that you like, they're nothing compared to your daddy, okay? So just keep that in mind. What would you think about a warrior who takes a complete city all by himself? He doesn't have anybody. I mean, he goes against a city and he conquers the whole city by himself. He takes the city alone. God says, let me tell you somebody who's greater than that man. Let me tell you somebody who's more powerful than that man. Let me tell you somebody who's mightier than he is in my sight. He that rules his own spirit. In other words, God says it takes more fortitude, it takes more might to rule your own city than it does to rule your own temper, your own spirit, than it would to take a complete city by yourself. The Bible says in Nahum 1:3, the Lord is slow to anger. May I say this to you, and may you agree with this with me, aren't you glad that God loves you with a love that you can't stir his anger very often? Where would we be if we stirred his temper often? What if God had a quick temper? What if God flew into a rage like some of the marriages around the world? See, I found a story and it illustrates this so well. A lady came to Billy Sunday, that dear man of God, and attempted to rationalize her angry outburst. She'd lose her temper, just angry, just outburst. And she said, and I quote, there's nothing wrong with losing my temper. I blow up and then it's all over. Billy Sunday said, so does a shotgun. But look at the damage it leaves behind. Whew. I say he put her in her place right there. What's the big deal? That's just who I am. That's just how I'm made up. Yeah, and that's as fleshly as the devil himself, my friend. If you say, hey, that's just who I am. That's just how I'm made. I just can't help myself. That means you're not walking with God. Amen. Amen. Hey, let's just put it down there. Let's just give it to you right here. I remind you, agape love's not natural. It's a fruit of the Spirit. God gives it. So if you are leaving God out of your life, then you will lose your temper if that's who you are naturally, because only God can help you bring your temper under control. Amen. Agape love is slow to anger. Agape love is a love that's not easily provoked. It's a love that seeketh not her own. Number 9, it's a love that thinketh no evil. This is found in verse number 5. This phrase means it takes, now get this. Boy, this is something here. Glory. This phrase where it says it thinketh no evil, it means this. It takes no worthless inventory. It means it does not keep an account of bad things. It means it doesn't register the evil. It means it doesn't keep the books. It stores no resentment and bears no malice. One man said it this way, two thoughts are in mind here. First, genuine love does not attribute evil motives to people. In other words, it thinketh no evil. The actions of others are not seen in their most negative light. Love always thinks the best of others. Second, genuine love does not dwell on what others may have done. Let me ask you a question. Has your spouse done something? Spiritually speaking, you've taken a pen out. I'm going to remember that. Keep talking, sweetheart. I'm keeping notes. Go ahead. Tell you one thing. I'm going to write that down so I'll never forget it. You know what agape love does? Refuses to carry a book. It keeps no records of bad things. Has your spouse done something that you've recorded in a spiritual inventory? And every now and then, in the mind, hey, a book doesn't have to be a literal book that you see. That book can be fresh in your mind, friends. You have a spiritual inventory of what your mate has done. And every now and then when you think that it will help your cause, you'll say, don't you remember when you did that? Are you listening to me? Is there any resentment in your heart towards your mate because of something they said to you or something they did to you? Are you keeping the books on your mate's failures? You may tell you again what I am so glad of. I am so glad that when I became the wife of Jesus Christ, He threw away the books. He wiped my slate clean. He said, I cast your sin in the depths of the deepest sea. I have cast your sin behind my back, and I will not remember them again. I'm glad that God does not pull the books out on me and say, Jody, do you remember when you did this to me? You remember when you did that to me? You remember when you did this to me? May I say this to you? No matter what your mate does, now listen to me, please. I'm not trying to belittle some things that a mate can do. But no matter what your mate does, it does not compare one little bit to what you and I have done to God. And He does not throw it back up in our face. He doesn't do that. Agape love does not keep the books. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself. Listen to this. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. You know what that means? That means our trespasses were there. But He didn't impute them to us. He wiped them away. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity, agape, shall cover the multitude of sins. You know what would help some marriages tonight? Not that I know who they are, honestly. Because I don't know your marriage. I don't know what you've dealt with. I don't know what your mate has done. I don't know that. I'm going to tell you what would help some marriages tonight is if some of you who have been holding something against your mate and your mate knows it, or maybe they don't even know it. You've been keeping the books on it. You've been remembering it. And it keeps coming up in your mind. And every now and then maybe it comes out your mouth. I can't believe you did that to me. I can't believe you did that to me. Let me tell you what would set some marriages back on the right path is for a husband and a wife to go home tonight, look themselves right in the face and say, "Sweetheart, I've been holding this against you. Now you know what you did. And you know it hurt me. But I've been wrong. I've been keeping the books on that. I've been keeping a spiritual inventory on that. And when I bring it back up to you, that's what the devil does. Would you forgive me?" What? Ask him to forgive. Ask her. She's the one that did it. Wait a minute. Has God spoken to your heart and said, "The book that you've been writing things down in, throw it away"? Agape love refuses to keep the books. May I say this? That's powerful, friends. Let me give you number 10, verse number 6. Try to get to three more here. Verse number 6. Charity rejoiceth not in iniquity. This word rejoiceth means to be cheerful, to bid it Godspeed, to allow it to come in. You see what I'm saying? The word iniquity means wrong or unrighteousness. It's been said, now get this, what this phrase means, it's been said, I think it's David Fox that said this. It's been said that this phrase right here, that it rejoiceth not in iniquity, get this. This summarizes what this means. It means it doesn't rejoice in things that put Christ on the cross. That's a great way to remember this. If it's something that helped crucify the Lord, something wrong, unrighteousness, you said sin, iniquity, agape love never rejoices in that. It means that agape love hates sin, friends. It's saddened by wrongdoing. It carries the idea as well of taking no pleasure in hearing something wrong or repeating something evil. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever heard somebody that has fallen? Maybe a pastor. A pastor that's fallen maybe somewhere, and he got hooked up with a secretary, he got hooked up with God forbid, a teenager, you know that's happened. And now he's in prison. Ever heard of a pastor like that? I'm thinking of one right now. You get on the website and you look things up and people are basically saying, I'm paraphrasing, basically saying, "I'm glad it happened to him. He deserves it." Agape love never bids Godspeed to sin. It never rejoices in something that's wrong. Let me ask you a question. Do you and your husband or your wife, do you bid Godspeed to things in your home that hung Christ on the cross? Do you rejoice in iniquity, in the television programs that you sit down and watch together as a married couple? Do you rejoice in iniquity with the music that you listen to in your home together? Do you rejoice in iniquity in how you speak to one another and what you allow in your ear gate and your eye gate with your mate? Agape love rejoices not in iniquity. Does the Lord God of heaven rejoice in what you as a married couple are rejoicing in. In what you allow. In what you bid Godspeed. In what you open your door to. Come on in. We're pleased to have you. Are those the same things that Jesus rejoices in with his bride? It rejoices not in iniquity. Number 11, this is a follow-up to this, but it rejoiceth in the truth. So let's verse number 6. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. This phrase follows right here is given in contrast to what we just said. It rejoiceth not in iniquity. It doesn't bid Godspeed. It's not cheerful in iniquity or sin, but it is cheerful and bids Godspeed to the truth. See, get this. Just as agape love does not open its door to sin and wickedness, it's pleased to open its door to anything that is the truth. It loves the truth. You know, the Word of God, by the way, remember what Pilate asked the Lord Jesus Christ? The Lord said, I came to bear witness of the truth. Pilate said, what is truth? What is truth? You know, that's a question the world is asking. What is truth? You know, there are a lot of things the Word of God identifies as truth. But for our marriage and two things that the Word of God says is truth that we can apply to our marriage, I'm going to give them to you here. One of them is the Word of God. Because in John 17:17 it says, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. This book is the truth, friends. This is the truth, the Word of God. The Lord Jesus Christ is identified as truth. In John 14:6 he said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So while we can apply this thought that it rejoices in the truth, it opens its doors to the truth. It doesn't open its doors to sin and things that crucify Christ, but it does open its door and cheerful for the truth. Then that means it wants Jesus to come inside. It wants the Word of God to come inside. It bids Godspeed to God's Word and God's Son. Let me ask you a question. Do you and your mate rejoice in the Lord? Do you and your mate rejoice in the Word of God? Are you thrilled with the truth of God's Word? Is your marriage built on truth, or is your marriage built on lies? There's no middle ground. Does the Word of God have an open door in your marriage? Do you realize that every marriage opens its doors to something? Do you understand that? You can't keep your doors closed to everything. You will open your door to something. These phrases means you slam the door against sin and you open the door to the truth. You slam out the things that crucify Christ and you say, Lord, come in, have free reign. Bring your word. We want to rejoice with you. Read your word. Meditate on your word. Memorize your word. We want to build our marriage on the truth of God's word. So let me ask you a question. How much does this book mean to you? Are you building your marriage on this book? Are you building your marriage on the Word of God? Are you building your marriage on the truth? Are you opening your door to the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me ask you a question. Would you be, in other words, here's basically what it means. If you saw the Lord coming up your sidewalk, I'm talking about Jesus Christ, you are not ashamed to open the door and say, come on in, have a seat, check any closet, go to any room you want to go to, and we're going to rejoice with you tonight, Lord. Or is there a closet that you'd say, I'll tell you one thing, I'm going to deadbolt that door. I'll let him go in every room, but not that room. Are you rejoicing in the truth? Or are you bidding Godspeed to something that's not the truth? Then finally tonight, we'll stop with this one. Verse number 7. This is number 12 if you're following me under this charity in this chapter. Charity beareth all things. Beareth all things. This phrase means to roof over, put a roof over it. It means to cover with silence. That's what it means. It means to endure patiently. It means not to make it known. The idea here is that agape love protects from evil. It's a cover to protect somebody else. Get this. It conceals what needs to be concealed and does not betray a secret. It never makes sin, faults, or imperfections the subject of conversation. Boy, this is something. It gives no undue publicity to things that don't need to be publicized. John Wesley put it this way in his notes. Here's what he said. Whatever evil the lover of mankind sees, hears, or knows of anyone, he mentions it to none. It never goes out of his lips unless where absolute duty constrains to speak. For instance, if somebody is abusing a child, if somebody is sexually molesting a child, you don't roof that over. You report that, okay? You see what I'm saying? It's not talking about that. It's talking about sin, things in private, things that you happen to know. But you don't get a bullhorn and start publicizing it to people. You cover it over. You roof it over. Let me apply it to the marriage, okay? Agape love never makes the failures of its spouse known to others. It does not publicize the faults of its mate. Rather, it bears them. It takes the brunt of it. Yes, they have a fault. Pow, pow, pow. Agape love bears that and covers it. When it's tempted to go out and dial a number and say, you'll never know what he's done now. Let me tell you what she did to me now. Agape love never does that. It is willing to cover up with silence unless absolute duty would constrain otherwise. When your mate does something or says something wrong, do you hold your tongue? And do you cover it with silence? Or do you run and gather your friends around you and start publicizing it to others? Do you bear all things in your marriage? One man said, love patiently endures and overlooks the faults in others. Instead of parading the failures and faults of others before all the world, love covers over and continues to love in spite of those things. By the way, when you take a failure or a sin or something like that of your mate, unless you are getting counsel, or unless, you know, I'm talking about you're coming together or alone, or whatever the case may be, and you're getting counsel, you're seeking help, you're seeking guidance. Anytime that you run to other people, by the way, you don't just run to anybody. You run to those who you know will sympathize with you. Let's just be honest. You don't run to somebody who's going to look you in the face and say, you shouldn't be telling me that. Amen, friends. You go to somebody that you know is going to give you a listening ear. Oh, cry on my shoulder a little while, sweetheart. May I say this to you? When you take the faults of your mate, by the way, every mate has faults, friends. You take the faults of your mate and you start belittling and you start publicizing, even if they get their heart right, that person that you criticize them to will never look at them the same, more than likely. You may get over it, But your friend may judge them from now until eternity comes around. During the 17th century, Oliver Cromwell, the Lord Protector of England, sentenced a soldier to be shot for his crimes. He was guilty. He needed to be executed. The execution was to take place at the ringing of the evening curfew bell. They had a bell that would ring during the evening, and he said, "When the bell begins to ring, kill him." But the bell didn't sound that night because the soldier's fiancée had climbed into the place up there and clung to the great clapper of the bell to prevent it from striking. When she was summoned by Cromwell to account for her actions, she wept as she showed him her bruised and bleeding hands, because what was coming down that would have made the bell sound was hitting her instead, bruising her. Cromwell's heart was touched, and he said, your lover shall live because of your sacrifice. Curfew shall not ring tonight. The man who told that story said, as he followed that story up, said this: love beareth all. You ever hurt God? You ever hurt your heavenly husband? You ever slapped him in the face? Spit in his face? Have you ever failed your husband? You ever sinned against him? The obvious answer from all of us would be yes. You know what the love of God will never do? He will never share your failures with somebody else. Just keeps on loving. Just keeps on tenderly loving you and bearing the brunt of our failures. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Are you getting what agape love is? It's not natural, friends. It's not. That's why you have to say, "Lord, I can't do this. God, help me." And the next time that your mate does something wrong, remember that you're not perfect either. And instead of running and publicizing it, why don't you put a roof over it? Why don't you cover it up? It's like this: I know that's wrong, but I'm not going to let you see it. That's bearing all things. You know what the world says? Show it to everybody. Show the world how good of a mate you're being, and show them how bad they're being to you. Let them see it. God says, "My love never does that. My love covers." I'm going to tell you one thing. This causes me to want to get on my knees and say, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." So tonight, we've traveled on to number 12. I think one more sermon will do it as far as imitating God as a husband. May the Lord add His blessing to this. Let's all bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Father, we love You tonight. I pray You'll guide, lead, and direct now. May the will of God be done. Help me to guide this and lead this. Speak to our hearts. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. Tonight we looked at, I think, six things. Six more things out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Hopefully you got a better understanding of those things. An agape love that God has for me and that I'm to have for my wife seeketh not her own. It's not selfish. It's not self-centered. Doesn't seek its own ease or temporal advantage. Interested more in me than self. Is that my love for my wife? Agape love is not easily provoked. If you have a quick temper, it puts that temper on the altar. It recognizes, yes, I have a temper. The next time I am stirred, the next time I am angry, instead of flying off the handle at my mate, I'm going to get on my knees and beg God to take it away from me. Agape love thinketh no evil. It doesn't keep the books. It doesn't register the wrongdoings. It doesn't bring up sin. It covers it over. It rejoices not in iniquity. It doesn't open its door. It doesn't bid Godspeed to things that hung Christ on a cross. But it rather rejoices in the truth. The Word of God builds itself on the Bible, the truths of God's Word. It beareth all things. Sometimes when you bear something, it's heavy. Sometimes it's hard. But agape love, supernatural love, God's love, even when something is wrong, it puts a roof over it. Now again, I'm not talking about things that have to be reported. You understand that. I'm talking about other things though. They said something to you. They did something to you. You started a conversation with some of your friends and now it's got to the point that when they see you, all they ask is, hey, how's he doing? Has he treated you right? Has he been doing the right thing? Or hey, how's she been doing? Is she treating you right? God says you don't do that if you truly love your mate with agape love. You build a roof over their failures. You cover their failures. You bear their failures. Hey, this is how God loves you, friend. Aren't you glad? And this is how we're to love each other. But specifically in an application, what I'm preaching, this is how husbands and wives are to love one another. If you're lost tonight and do not know Jesus, come, let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. If God is speaking to you as a Christian, husbands, I'm calling on you. Why don't you grab your wife by the hand, come to the altar. And say, honey, let's go. I want that love in our marriage. I want that love that bears all things, that rejoices in the truth, doesn't rejoice in iniquity, that thinks no evil, doesn't keep the books, that doesn't seek its own, but seeks the favor of others. That's not easily provoked. Husbands, come on. Grab your wife. Come to the altar. Ask God to help you. I'm going to ask Brother Gary to sing. God is speaking to you. Would you come? Would you come now? We're not going to stand. We're just going to sing. God is speaking to you as he sings. Come now. Would you do it?
Have thine own way.
Come on. Come to the altar.
Lord,
don't be ashamed.
Thine own way.
Grab your wife. Bring her.
Thou art the
get on your knees and say, God, give us that love. Give us that love.
Mold me and make
maybe some of you husbands may want to just make an altar of your seat right there. Just pray. Talk to God. Grab your wife by the hand and say, let's pray together. Let's talk to God. Grab her by the hand. Pray with her. Pray with her. Pray with her. Just keep on singing, Brother Gary.
Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Hold o'er my being. Absolute sway. Fill with thy spirit till all shall see Christ only, always living in me.
They're playing through soft. I'd like you to look this way. I'm just about done. It is high time that God's men take the lead in their home. It is high time that the husbands of Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church says, honey, sweetheart, kids, I have resolved follow Jesus. And I want agape love. I want my wife to know that her husband loves her with agape love. And I want my wife to know as she watches that I understand I can't do that. As long as God helps me walk with Him, pray, seek God, God will love her with that love through me. I don't know what I would do without my wife. What a woman. What a lady of God. And we have a marriage that I believe God is pleased with. But we've not arrived. I want to have a better marriage. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better father. The only way I can do that is if I imitate God. Cast myself down at His feet. Say, Lord, I understand that the fruit of the Spirit is number one, love. And what love is that? That's agape love. Let's love one another. Amen. We're not through yet with this sermon, but I hope you'll chew on this all week long. May the Lord add His blessing to it. I'm going to ask Brother Jeff Roten, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer tonight, please.
Lord Jesus, we do thank you for the service today. Lord, how convicting this is to love our mates with the agape love, just as you loved us and are loving us today. Lord, just work upon our hearts this week. Let us meditate on what we have heard tonight. Lord, help us to be that better husband, better wife, better father, that better mother. Lord, just be with us. We just pray these things in Jesus' name.